Well, good morning, brethren, or good afternoon, rather. Greetings to any that's watching by the cybercast today. Welcome to our guests. We're happy to have you with us. Brethren, as was mentioned in the prayer, fall is very fast approaching. The weather's even starting to feel like fall. Although today it is supposed to be back up in the 80s, but the last few days it's been a lot cooler than normal. This is a very exciting time of year for us, as the fall holiday season is upon us. Trumpets is next Thursday, then Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Day. We feel an anticipation and excitement for this time of year. God has blessed us with His precious truth and knowledge of what these days mean, not only for us as God's people, but what this time pictures for all mankind. He has certainly given us a lot to be thankful for. You know, back several years ago, my Aunt Mary taught me a lesson in being thankful for the daily blessings that we receive. After school was out in the spring of the year, we headed north to Ohio to their farm for the summer. My uncle not only had a farm, but he also owned a local feed store. He raised beef cattle, pigs, and bottle calves. My main task was to assist with getting the hay crop in for the year, but that also covered every other aspect of everything that we were doing on the farm. At that point, ram balers were not even heard of. So everything that was done was all square bales. He produced several thousand of these each season because he had a 100-head cow-calf operation. So we got a workout for the summer. I never minded the farm work because I really enjoyed it. Didn't matter if we were cleaning out a fence row or cutting hogs or whatever. It was all fine. We were expected to be up and have the morning feeding done before we had our own breakfast. But there was one task that I did dread more than anything else. No, it wasn't anything to do with the farm, but sometimes in the evening, I was asked to help with something that I really didn't want to do, wash the dishes. As a teenage boy, I would complain a little bit, but my aunt had a good response for that. You see, on the wall above her sink hung a plaque that she would point to and draw my attention to, and it read the following. Thank God for dirty dishes, for they have a tale to tell. While others may go hungry, we're eating very well. You know, how can you argue with that? There just really wasn't a whole lot I could say to that. So as bad as I disliked it, I took my turn along with everybody else. But brethren, how thankful are we for the things our Father does for us? There have been times it has been big issues in our life that He's helped with. But don't let the little things that He does for us on a daily basis slip by. Because it's the little things, in addition to the big things, that we should be very, very thankful for. If you will, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, and we'll start reading in verse 1 through verse 5. It talks about in the end time how things are going to be. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And it says, from such turn away. This mentions a whole list of attitudes that will be present in the last days. And if you can look around at society today, every one of those is present, brethren. It's really kind of unnerving a little bit to look around and just see how much these attitudes are present in today's society. But the one that I want to focus on is being unthankful. You see, Paul points out in Romans chapter 1, turn there please, in verse 20. Paul points out in Romans chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their own thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. By not being thankful for what God does for us is really a slap in the face to him. God calls this unrighteousness. He has given us his creation so that we can see his hand at work in everything that's made. He's giving us this to enjoy and to show us the details in his creation. You know, there was a song a few years ago that was written called God's Coloring Book, and it talks about going out in nature and actually absorbing the things that God has made. David pointed out something to us that we need to consider. Let's go to Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. Psalms chapter 8, we'll start in verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you should visit him? For you made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hand. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. See, brethren, David took the time and he truly marveled at everything that our Father made for us. And he pointed out how much we should appreciate him for that. Paul takes it a step further. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse 15 through 20. There's a caption in my Bible that says, walk in wisdom. It said, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul's giving us an example of how to live our lives, that we should always be thankful for everything, that we should need to develop this as a state of mind. It should become second nature for us. So what Paul is saying is, if you have the attitude of thankfulness in you, it allows your whole mindset to change toward God. And it allows you to have a deeper understanding of him. In 1 Thessalonians, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. We'll read through verse 18. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil to evil for anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. That's not always easy to do, is it, brethren? You know, when we're going through trials and hard times in our life, it's easy not to rejoice about that. But you know what? The reassurance we have is we're not alone. We're never alone. God is there with us. How does he do that? And how do we allow that to happen? Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, Paul points out that we're to encourage one another. We are to comfort one another. We're to overlook each other's faults and do what is good for ourselves and everyone else. We are to rejoice and then pray about everything without ceasing. Make our Father a partner in every aspect of our lives. You know, some may think this is silly, but years ago, when I used to live in Cincinnati, I'd go to Kentucky every weekend. And coming back on Sunday evening, getting a parking space in front of the apartment building there was not an easy task to do, because it seemed like every one of them was always full. So not every time, but usually, I would say a prayer when I got ready to leave, and I would say, Father, please save me a parking space in front of my apartment, because it's just, you know, you got the Christ Hospital right next to you, and you got all this whole row of apartments on the other side. And you know, brethren, when I would do that, guess what would happen? I would pull up there, and there was a space right within just a few feet of my front door. There was times that I forgot to do that, though. And guess what happened then? I didn't even get to park on the street. I had to go down around the corner to the other side because there wasn't anything available. But some people feel like, you shouldn't bother God with things like that. But you know what? God is our friend. He wants us to have him involved in every aspect of our lives. Don't let anything go by that God's not a part of. You know, just along this point also, I can remember one time I was getting ready to bale hay. And I woke up that morning, I had hay down. I was going to wake up that morning and rake everything, get it all put in before the rain came. And I woke up that morning, and there was a little shower of rain that had happened. I thought, I'm not going to get discouraged. I prayed about it. I went out there, and I got on a tractor, hooked up, drove out to the edge of the hayfield, made one round around it, and I said, nah, it's just too wet. So I just parked at the end of the field because there was water, enough water had fallen that it was getting the tires wet on the tractor. And I just said, Father, I need sunshine, and I need the wind to blow. I need it now. Because they're calling for rain. I could look in the distance, and you could see rain in the distance. It was raining very badly. About 5 minutes after I said that prayer, the sun came out, the wind started blowing. I waited another 5 minutes, and I took off down the field, not a speck of moisture on the tractor tires. Went all the way around, got it all raked. Got almost done raking. Linda called me up, and she said, it's supposed to be raining at 1 o'clock. I said, yeah, I know. And she goes, it's 12:57. Don't you think you better go ahead and bale what you got raked? And I said, nope. I said, I'm going to keep moving. So I just said another prayer and just kept right on going. So went all around, got everything all raked up, hooked to the baler, took off, got done, looked at my phone. I had a text from my brother. My baler's broke down. Can you come over and roll my hay for me? I think, I don't even know if I'm going to get done with mine before it rains. So I went. I went anyway. Well, the other part of the story I forgot to tell you about this is on that ram baler, it has a series of belts across there. In the center of the baler, One of those belts had broken. Now, the guys at John Deere will tell you, that's not supposed to roll if it's got a belt missing. But guess what? It did. Because I had a belt missing, and I rolled all of mine that way. So I go up to where my brother had his hay down. I get up there, I get one roll belt. And then the worst thing happened. A second belt broke, right next to the one that had already broken. So instead of a gap this wide, now I've got one this wide right in the center of the baler. There's no way this thing's supposed to pick up hay because it's supposed to ball up and kick it out, and it won't work. I just said, you know, Father, help me out here. I said, I've got to get this rolled or his hay's going to get wet. So I just said another prayer, and I just took off across the field, and I didn't even look back for a second because I wasn't sure what's going to happen. You know, that bale went ahead and rolled, tied it off, kicked it out, drove back to the house and parked the tractor, and then it started raining. God does care. He does want to be involved in our lives. Let's go down. One more important point I want to make on this is make sure we give thanks for everything. In Psalms number 100, Psalms 100, we'll start reading in verse 1. This is the Psalm of David, and it's titled a Psalm of Thanksgiving. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Notice that word keeps coming up a lot. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. In every aspect of our lives, that's what we need to be doing. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. David knew that he owed everything that he was to God our Father. And he expressed that many times. The question is, do we? Sometimes we get sidetracked. Sometimes we have trials come up in our life and we lose focus. But we have to stay the path. We have to remember God will not leave us nor forsake us. Let's look at another example of thankfulness. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we'll start reading in verse 11. This is about the 10 lepers that were cleansed. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Why did they stand afar off? Because the Jews had a custom that whenever someone had leprosy, you couldn't get within so many feet of them. And they had to keep everything wrapped up because literally their skin was rotting off their body. Sometimes their extremities would fall off. So they were far away. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. So when he saw them, he said to them, he could have said many things, but he told them something that they needed to do. He could have said, you're healed, and that would have been the end of it. But he told them something that they needed to do. Go show yourselves to the priest. And it was so, as they went, they were cleansed. They knew instantly that God had intervened and healed them. Just by them taking the steps to go ahead and do what God asked them to do, or what Christ told them to do, they had to turn and start going in that direction. And when they did, God healed them. Okay. Now I'll pick it back up in verse 15. And one of them, When he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a voice glorified God. Now remember, before he couldn't get within so many feet of Christ because he had leprosy. Now he'd been healed. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now keep in mind that the Samaritan were like the lowest class of people that there were to the Jews at that time. They were like nobody. Jesus answered and said, "Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" So Christ is pointing out to the leaders, hey, only the foreigner came back to thank me. And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." This one individual took the time to show thankfulness for being healed. And in return, he not only received a physical healing, but he received a spiritual healing as well. The others only got the outward cure. But in the commentaries that I looked at on this, and I looked at about 4 or 5 of them, this individual alone got the spiritual blessing because he came back to say thank you for what had been done for him. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse 6. We'll read verses 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So God wants to know, when we have something that we need help with, when we have a trial that we have in our lives, or anything that's going on, whether it's something so small or something so big, he wants us to make that known to him. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Gratitude produces a positive outlook in every aspect of our lives. And that's the blessing of being thankful. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. We'll read verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." You know, one thing God wants us to understand, if we're thankful for the things that he does, it allows him to do even more. And he wants to do that for us, brethren. He really does. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." We are to be thankful as we pray about the issues in our life. You know, there's no issue in our lives that God doesn't want to hear about. There's no issue that he's not willing to help us with. There's no issue that he will not intervene for us if we're in a proper attitude. You know, it just won't. He won't do that. He won't abandon us in any way. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 7. Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, we're going to read through verse 12. This is a letter Paul wrote to the church in Rome. to all in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul had a desire to visit the brethren there. He didn't know if it was going to work out. So he said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you, and all your faith is spoken of throughout all the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Again, Paul is setting the example of always talking to God, not only about the issues that he's facing, but about the people he was responsible for. And making requests that if by some means, now at last I find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you a spiritual gift, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both in you and me. Brethren, what Paul was asking here, he was asking God, he said, look, Father, if you can work this out, I would really like to go visit the brethren back in Rome, even if it's just for a short period of time. Please work this out where I can do that. He was asking God to work it out so that he could visit those brethren, and he wasn't afraid to talk to God as a friend. God is our protector. He's our defender. He's the one who gives us the strength to help us in every aspect of our lives. And that power will always be there if we allow him to work through that. If we are obedient to him in all aspects of our lives, he will work out things for us, brethren, that we can't even imagine. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, I can remember one time a minister in the church used to say this. And what he said was, if someone would submit to God and allow him to fully work through them, he could only imagine what God could work out in that person's life. Because that's, a lot of times, we're the roadblock to that. We're the one that prevents God from doing that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. We'll read through verse 9. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We're hard pressed on every side. So it says we're going to have trials. We're going to face issues in our lives that we're going to have to deal with, but you're going to have to deal with them alone. It said we're hard pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. God won't allow that to happen. What's one of the things that Satan complained about to God was, you've got a hedge around Job. I can't get near him. There's a hedge around God's people, brethren. We have so much to be thankful for. We don't need to fear anything. Don't ever forget, our Father is more powerful than anything. Talk to him about everything in your life. Don't leave him out of any aspect of it. Every little thing going on in your life, make sure that he's involved in. Let's go to John chapter 15. John 15 and verse 7. John 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You get that? If we abide in God, we'll ask whatever we desire, and He will do it for us. He won't leave us. There's an excellent article on that by Janet Treadway in The Last Beyond Today. It's just a short article, but I'd encourage everyone to read that. You know, if you go to, we won't turn there, but as a reference scripture, Hebrews 10 verse 36 says, after you've done the will of the Father, then you will receive the promises. Yes, that's an implication of living a godly life and you will qualify to be in His kingdom, but that also applies on a daily basis. That also applies to everything we do and in every aspect of our lives. You know, others have mentioned this before, but just as a suggestion, make a list of all the blessings, big and small, in your life. You know, I think you'll be surprised at just how much our Father helps us in our daily lives.